You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome back to the Early Night Show Virtual Edition. My name is Joshua Turchin, and thank you so much for being with us today. I'm so excited to welcome Broadway's Jesse Swim from School of Rock and Mary Poppins to the show today. Welcome to the Early Night Show. Now that Broadway has reopened and COVID is becoming a bit more manageable, the city has become even more lively than before. The streets are full of people, and when walking around, you really never know who or what you'll encounter. Usually, you'll see people trying to, like, sell tickets or pass out CDs, which, to be honest, I'm really not sure of the purpose of that because, like, seriously, does anyone have a CD player anymore? Well, I've been up here for 6 years, and I thought I saw it all, until recently. I was walking down on the street and saw a crowd smiling with, like, their cameras pointed at a truck that had a horn honking. First of all, like, when you normally see people with their cameras out, they're not always recording something positive, so I was a bit hesitant. But they were smiling. Well, I figured it would be okay to approach, and I did, and this is what I saw. Yep, that is an impatient dog waiting for his owner, only in New York City. What's also only in New York City is the huge variety of shows that are open for people to see. From straight plays to musicals, Broadway to off-Broadway and off-off-Broadway, there really is a show for everyone. There are so many incredible composers and lyricists, and I truly hope that one day I may have shows running on Broadway too. I'm thrilled to share that a new song from the musical I've been writing, inspired by Disney Pixar's Luca, called Marks on the Wall, is now available on all streaming platforms. Here's a clip.
All years go by, his son is just left to die, struggling to still get by to this day.
Please make sure to stream Marks on the Wall on Spotify, Amazon Music, iTunes, or really wherever you listen to your music. As a songwriter, I love studying other composers, like Frank Wildhorn, who wrote the music for Jekyll and Hyde, Bonnie and Clyde, and the hit musical The Scarlet Pimpernel. This is one of my favorite songs from that show. This is Where's the Girl?
I remember days full of restlessness and fury. I remember nights that were drunk on dreams. I remember someone who hungered for the glory. I remember her, but it seems she's gone. Where's the girl with the blaze in her eyes? Where's the girl with that gaze of surprise? Now and then, I still dream she's beside me. Where's the girl who could turn off the edge of a knife? Where's the girl who was burning for life? I can still feel her breathing beside me, and I know she remembers how fearless it feels to take off with the wind at your heels. She and I took this world like a storm. Come again, let the girl in your heart tumble free. Bring your renegade heart home to me. The dark of the morning, I'll warm you, I'll rouse you. Marguerite, don't forget that I know who you are. We were cut from the same surly star, like two jewels in the sky, sharing fire. Where's the girl? So alive and still aching for more. We had dreams that were worth dying for. We were caught in the eye of the storm. Come again, let that girl in your heart tumble free. Bring your renegade heart home to me. In the dark of the morning, I'll warm you, I'll rouse you. Where's the girl? Is she gazing at me with surprise? Do I still see that blaze in her eyes? Am I dreaming, or is she beside me?
That I don't have to look too far to see our next amazing guest on Broadway or Broadway National Tours or TV or film. I met today's guest when we both performed virtually for a holiday show. However, several years earlier, I was lucky enough to be in the audience of the Broadway National Tour of Mary Poppins at the Broward Center in Fort Lauderdale when he played Bert. I'm so happy to welcome Jesse Swim to today's show. Hi, Jesse.
Hi, Joshua.
Hi, I'm so excited to have you on today's show.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm thrilled. I'm a big fan of yours, and I'm glad to be here.
I'm such a big fan of you. Congratulations on the great run of, it was the world premiere of Mystic Pizza, No Gunguit, right?
Yeah, it was a remarkable, wonderful experience, and I think it surprised a lot of people in just how truly great it was. I mean, we knew we had a great piece of theater, but they were really impressed with the reaction from the audiences and the reviews. So, you know, I think there's some more talk in regards to the future of the show, and we had some Broadway producers come and check it out. So we shall see. Who knows?
Ooh, that sounds really cool. Now, yeah. Did COVID impact the show at all?
No, I mean, thankfully it did not. I mean, we were very fortunate. Ogunquit, Maine has a very high vaccination rate. They have very low transmission happening up there in regards to the virus. We were tested twice a week. Everybody in the company was vaccinated, not just cast, but crew and staff. So we actually had a number of the amount of people vaccinated. And anyone that came within 6 feet of us or spent more than, I think, 15 minutes with us or maybe less had to be vaccinated. So, but we were very, very lucky. We did not have any issues whatsoever.
That's so good. I'm really glad that like Broadway shows are able to get back to normal, like completely safe, like tests weekly and everyone's vaccinated.
Yeah, no, it's delightful and wonderful, and it gives me a lot of hope for our industry.
Now, long before COVID like came into our world, you made your Broadway debut in Mary Poppins, right?
That is true.
And I believe you also toured the country in the show.
Yeah, I was a member. I was an original cast member on the first national tour. I was a swing and a Bert understudy.
Oh, that's so cool. Now, I cannot believe this. I saw you, this was like in 2010, I think, where you swung on as Bert.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy. We were in, we were there for 3 weeks with the show, and I was actually on in one of my tracks that I cover, the role of the vicar and Von Hustler, the German business guy. And at the top of the show, when Bert comes out of the chimney and steps down and like addresses the audience, Gavin, who originated the role in the West End and Broadway and the tour with us, it was just one of those flukes where he stepped off the chimney the wrong way and rolled his ankle. And it was, we like came off from the opening and he did his opening with the house and everything and then came off and he was like, I don't know if I can do this. I'm going to try. And then he ultimately made the decision really quickly that he couldn't. And so the decision was that I would be the cover that went on. I guess it just made sense that I was the one cover that it was easier to take me out of and put the other swing on as opposed to the other cover. And I changed, unfortunately, we did have to stop the show. We couldn't like flawlessly do it. It wasn't one of those like, just, oh, why does Bert look different? It was like, we had to stop it. And it was kind of weird because, you know, it's the old thing of being an understudy. You know, Gavin is so wonderful. And like a lot of people were coming to see him, you know, he's so well known. He's so iconic in the role and he's spectacular. And a lot of what I did, I learned so much from him about the role. And I remember being upstage in with the curtain down and they were like, ladies and gentlemen, for the remainder of the performance, the role of Bert will be played by Jesse Swim. And I definitely heard some audible groans from the audience, which I was like, okay. But at the end, because the show is so good and direction, and I mean, I had been doing it a while, you know, I definitely got the audience on my side by the time, and there was lots of cheering and applause and standing ovations. And so, you know, I'll pat myself on the back on that one, that I brought the audience around, that they didn't mind so much that they saw that they didn't see Gavin.
Fun fact. I saw you at that performance and I was only 3.5, I think. I was very young. I was very young. Were. Yeah. I started seeing shows really early.
I love that you have that memory of that specific memory. That's kind of amazing.
Yeah. I also have another memory where I was just completely traumatized by one of the statues. Jolly Holiday. I think.
Yeah. Jolly Holiday. Yeah. And that was when I started the show as Bert. They're a little traumatizing. There's some definite, like very kind of scary things in Mary Poppins. Cause it's a little bit more like the books. It's not as just, you know, the 1960s Disney films. So it's a little more adult in its themes. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely, it was fun. I'm so excited that you saw that. It's so wild.
Yeah, it's really insane. Now, I do remember one part of the show, you had to like tap dance on the ceiling, right?
That is right. Yeah. And Step in Time, the big sort of thing in that is Bert using the magic of Mary Poppins, walks up the Presidium, flips upside down. We tap dance across, we turn and sing, and then we tap dance back down the other side. So yeah, that was kind of, that's, you know, I think about that moment sort of a lot in the fact that there's been productions around the world in the West End, Australia, the National Broadway, but not a lot of people do that for obvious reasons. So it's kind of cool to be a part of this sort of club of individuals who have done that moment. It was wild. It was one of the highlights of my career.
Now, did you have to like, how did you prepare for that like moment? Or like what went on, like did you get like no chance to prepare?
No, so it was interesting. So kind of was, there was a process through it. So our dance captain, this wonderful man by the name of Troy Edward Bowles, who was the other swing on the show, he was instilled with teaching the choreography by Stephen Meir and Matthew Bourne. And so it basically started by learning just the actual steps, which in reality are very, very simple. It's like heel, pull back, heel. It's like very simple tap steps. And then from there, what we did is we would sit up against a wall. So we would like lay with our back on the floor and we would put our feet up on the wall and we would do the steps sort of just like here so that we could get this sensation of doing the tap without gravity. Cause I mean, if you know, like tapping, you need to be able to push into the floor. And so all of a sudden you don't have that force anymore. And then once you kind of did that a few times, and this wasn't like in a one day process, this was over like weeks and, you know, days and whatnot. The next is we had what we called a static rig. So we basically, it was a rig that they took on the road with us. It was two giant A-frames and then a tap board at the top with two wires that hung down. So we would put on our harness. We had what we call a 2-point harness. It went over our shoulders and around our waist and around our legs. And the 2 points would attach at the hips. And we would flip upside down and basically just, and we were only a few feet off the ground. So we would sit there and we would practice in place the steps to get the sensation and to work against gravity. Mm-hmm. The reality is once that happens, there's really no other step other than just doing it. So once you learn the static rig, the next step was getting on stage with the with crew and automation and the rigging and just doing it. So we had on the proscenium, they had these boards that that flipped out that became part of the proscenium, and they inputted all the things, all the calibrations, because it's all very specific. It's all based on your height and your weight and everything and how far you want to be from the board to like the nth degree. And once they push go, you're along for the ride. There's no like, I can't do this. There's just nothing. So, and it's all very sort of, it's counterintuitive to how we move normally. Cause like you would think naturally your body starts to pitch forward. So you find yourself going up the board and you find yourself like this. So you have to lean back more than you think. So it's tricking your brain into thinking like, oh, even though I feel like I'm laying back really far, I'm in a sense actually completely perpendicular. And then flipping upside down was even harder because the way the harness was, it basically sort of bent you a little bit. So you had to press your hip forward a lot. So it was a lot of like core strength, and it's incredibly technical. And by the time you all do it, flip, find your placement in your voice, because like you're upside down and all the blood's rushing to your head and you're trying to sing this over the rooftop step in time and not pass out. And then you flip over and then come back down, and before you know it, it's over. Like I remember the first few times I did it, how even though it probably the whole process was a couple minutes, it flew by in a second because everything was so technical, from your first step to flipping upside down to doing the steps to turning to going back. And then when you come back down, it's even different. You end up pitching forward. So you've got to like, it's very weird. But you know, and the thing is Gavin did it for so long, it was so second nature to him. You would watch him and you were like, how does he do this? And you just, the more you start doing it, the more you realize like, oh, it's completely safe. There's literally zero way I can fall. There's no way I can get hurt. In fact, if the system ever actually failed, the system is designed to lock. So if for some reason, like the power went out, it's not like we would drop. The clamps, it clamps down. It actually needs power to release. So I always felt incredibly safe doing it, which is interesting because I'm actually afraid of heights. So that was always something to try and wrap my head around.
Well, yeah. And then you were just so incredible in that show. And then after Mary Poppins, I believe you went on to do School of Rock, right?
I did. I did the regional premiere of Mary Poppins at a theater called Tuacon for about 6 months. So I did that. That's my dog in the background. If you hear some weird noise, she's decided she likes, whenever I'm on Zoom, she decides is the time she wants to play. So she actually was a rescue from when I was on the road with Mary Poppins. So she has been with me since my days on the road. But yeah, after I did Mary Poppins, I did some stuff regionally. And then in the sort of early 2015, I was closing a show off Broadway and I had gone in for School of Rock. I went into the open call. You know, there was no dance call. They sort of, for the adults, they just wanted us to sing our best rock or pop songs. So I went in, I sang a 16 bar cut of Sunday Morning by Maroon 5. And I saw Mary Sugarman of Tara Rubin Casting, who I knew, and Ethan Pop, the music supervisor, just kind of bopping out. And I was like, oh, I think maybe I'll get a call back. This is cool. And I did. And after that, it was like callback after callback after callback. And it just kept getting, each time I got a callback, I was like, oh, this is going somewhere. Like, and it was crazy because it was, you know, the next callback was reading some sides from the show, and we didn't even really have they didn't have a full script yet. I mean, they had a script, but a lot of it was still stuff from the movie. And I just kept sort of singing the same song over and over, the version of Sunday Morning. And then I did it for the director and for Tara Rubin. Then I was brought in again, and then I had my final callback. unfortunately, Andrew Lloyd Webber couldn't be at it because he was in London doing something. So it was the whole creative team plus a video, plus a camera to film us for Andrew. And then I remember I did that, and then I was doing a reading of some show for a friend. I can't remember what it was called. And on my train ride home, you know, when you're sort of between subways, you all of a sudden will get like a message or a notification. Wow. And it was like my agent, it was, you know, the mine. So I like got out at Columbus Circle, called him, because all the message I could hear was, "Jesse, call me back." And I was like, okay. It was a 5-second message. And I called, and he was like, "Congratulations, you're going to be back on Broadway." And I called I FaceTimed my parents and cried, because it was my first original Broadway show. I mean, Mary Poppins will always hold a special place in my heart, being my debut. But you know, it's one of the sort of bucket lists in our industry to be a part of an original cast and create, and to be part of an Andrew Lloyd Webber show. I mean, it was a huge monumental moment for me.
That's incredible. Did you have like a favorite moment of your time in the show?
For School of Rock?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, it was interesting. Because I was a swing on the show, so I covered all the adults except for Dewey and Ned. And I remember the end of the show when the kids and Alex Brightman, who played Dewey Finn, would do the final teacher's pet battle of the bands. And they would have the scene with the parents where the parents were questioning what they were doing, and the kids were like, "This is for us, you know, we have to be who we are. You just don't understand." And they would go, and then the parents would go away, and the kids would run, and the set would turn, and the lights, and Brandon Niederauer, who was our original Zach, he would come down and start playing that guitar riff, that just iconic guitar riff from School Rock. And I would stay every night. I watched that number from the back of the Winter Garden. If I wasn't on, I watched that number every time, because it was electric. Our original kids, I mean, we had phenomenal children throughout the entire run, but there was something very special about those original kids, and especially the four band members. You know, it was just incredible. I mean, it was Brandon, Evie, Dante, and Jared, the four of them playing together was just something that I'll always remember. And I just, you could feel the energy in the audience.
So cool. Now, both of your Broadway shows involved like many young performers, and it's incredible how supportive you are of them. Like, what do you enjoy most about working with younger actors?
You know, it's fun. The thing I love, and it's actually become sort of an ongoing joke, I have, up until this past show of Mystic Pizza, I have been in every show that I have done since 2009 has had children in them. Wow. In some capacity, whether there's one or two, there's always been children in the show. And, you know, I used to actually be a teacher at PPAS on 48th Street, the Performing Arts, back in 2006 through 2008. I taught dance and song interpretation and acting. I love working with kids. It's a lot of fun. There's sort of, you know, it makes me remember when I was in high school and the joy of doing theater the first time, and it sort of kind of rekindles that whole experience of why we all got into this. You know, yes, now it's a whole different concept for me. You know, it's a business and it's a job, and I have bills to pay and I have to get health insurance and all that stuff. But those things, you don't think about those things when you're a kid. And I think that it frees you a lot as a performer. And because even though everything is high stakes in the show in terms of like acting terms, in terms of like your life, the stakes are very low, because you get to have fun with your friends and you get to create and experience these wonderful things and sort of live this sort of crazy lifestyle that is so unique. You know, not many kids that age get to say that they were Broadway stars. And it's, you know, it's, the time that School of Rock was on Broadway, there was actually a very large contingency of children on Broadway. There was so many shows that had kids, and it was so great to see how supportive they all were of each other, you know, by all the functions that they did or, you know, benefits they would do. And they would see each other, and they're all friends, and they're even friends to this day. I have former cast members of School of Rock who are in that new musical Trevor that are working with other friends of theirs from other shows. And it's like, I love seeing how they're all supporting each other. And even the ones that aren't doing it are being supportive of their friends. And, you know, it's great. And I think, you know, especially if it's something that they want to do professionally, it gives them such an amazing sort of stepping stone into whatever phase of their career. I mean, you look at some of the kids that we had in our show. I mean, one of our biggest stars, Shahadi, you know, has been in numerous movies and TV shows. And, you know, we have so many kids that are Demi, who's gonna be in the new Will Smith movie as one of the Williams sisters. I mean, we have so many kids that are just doing incredible things, and it's so, you know, and I don't have children, but it like I have a sense of pride that it's like they almost are like my children in a sense, because, you know, I played their parents. So it's, you know, it's fun watching them succeed. I enjoy it immensely. And it also reminds me of like why, like I said, why I did this, and you know why I first got into it. It's exciting. It's fun.
Yeah. And now on top of that, you were also a performer in Disneyland, right?
Yes, I was. It was my one of my first jobs. It's like, well, actually, it was my second job when I was in college. I was going to school, and I went to my alma mater is Cal State Fullerton. I'll give a little shout out to them. And I was studying there, and my best friend worked at Disneyland. He would become my best friend. And we were in acting class, and I was working at a movie theater. I was an assistant manager at this chain movie theater company in Southern California, and it was fine, and I enjoyed it. I got to see free movies, and my friends got to see free movies. But I grew up going to Disneyland as a kid. I loved Disney, and I loved going. And when there was an opportunity to work in entertainment and characters there, I jumped at the chance. And so I started as what they call an entertainment host. So we always used to joke, we were like the secret service of the characters. So we would like facilitate in them getting onto set and like talking for them, or, you know, helping them, you know, get through crowds and whatnot. But, you know, we had to be, you know, sort of outgoing. And a lot of us were actors because we had to interact with the guests and all that stuff. But that actually ended up leading to a lot of opportunities for me. You know, I did stage shows there, and I was a storyteller. And, you know, it because of what I was studying and who I was, like, the opportunities to do other things there were great. You know, one of the first big shows I did at Disney was a musical called Animazement, the musical. Oh. And there's a very well-known trilogy or trio that everyone sings at cabarets. It's Pocahontas.
I love you of that.
Yeah, that's where it originated. And like Eden Espinoza and I were, you know, children when we were in the show together. You know, she was Pocahontas, I was Lumiere and the genie. And yeah, so it was, I loved working there. I always said if I ever moved back to California, I would try and get a job back at Disneyland or California Adventure, where I also worked.
Oh, it's so cool. Now, besides Disneyland, Broadway, and like numerous tours, you've also done a lot of developmental works, right?
Yeah, I've done a handful. You know, that's the fun thing about this industry is that, you know, it's got to start somewhere. And, yeah, you know, and a lot of people don't realize that the path to a show getting on Broadway or even off Broadway or a tour, it's a long process. I think Hamilton, I think Lynn said, took like 6-7 years or
yeah,
something.
I remember seeing a video of like the opening number from like 2010.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, and you also look at like In the Heights, he wrote that while he was in college.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, yeah, I've done a few. I did, I did a musical reading of this show called Atlantis, I did. A dear friend of mine, Jonathan Reed Gelt, has been working on a musical that is based on this book called Dust and Shadow. It is a story of Sherlock Holmes, but put into the world of Jack the Ripper, which was a real character, which was a real person in life, a real historical figure, and sort of what that was written by this woman by the name of Lindsay Fay. And the Arthur Conan Doyle estate loves the book, and so they're turning it into a musical. And I was part of the original, like, readings. I did about 3 readings for them, and my part sort of changed and morphed and stuff. I know they're still working on it, but that was while I was doing Mary Poppins. So that was back in, like, 2013. So they're still working on it, and it's a very different piece, like, the character I had a song at the beginning of Act 2, and while it was a wonderful song, it was too similar to another. It was too similar to the song that opens Parades Act 2. What is it? Good News or something or whatever that I can't. It was very similar to that, and it just didn't work. But yeah, so that's been through. But the biggest one that I just recently did, and I did a workshop of a reading of the Karate Kid musical that Drew Gasparini is working on. Which I gotta tell you, everybody, when this comes to Broadway, go see it. It's so fun. I'm sadly not a part of it anymore, and that's I'm okay with that. Like, I'm excited for the people who are doing it. I think actually a friend of mine is playing the role that I was playing, the role of the dad to the love interest. I was playing Allie's dad and, like, the teacher, and, you know, I basically played a lot of the adult roles because we only had, I think, like, 4 men and 4 women in the ensemble. But it is incredible. The choreographers are Keone and Mari Madrid, who are just spectacular. They're doing the Once Upon a One More Time Britney musical. It's going to be spectacular. And Drew has written a phenomenal, phenomenal piece of musical theater. It is so 1980s and, like, it's so catchy and fun. And yeah, so I'm excited for it to come to Broadway. So maybe I'll be in it one day. Who knows? We'll see.
I can't wait to hopefully watch you in it one day.
Yeah, I would love that. So
now, in addition to your work as a performer, can you tell us a bit about your work as a master class and private coach?
Yeah, so like I mentioned, I used to teach at the Performing Arts High School. I sort of got into this love for teaching because one of the first jobs I did out of college was Grease Das Musical in Germany. And I started in the ensemble, but about after 6 months, I was offered the position of assistant dance captain in swing. And I found a real love for teaching, and it sort of gave me a different perspective of the industry and seeing pieces. And so when the opportunity came to teach at the Performing Arts High School, I jumped at the chance, and it sort of just kind of went from there. And in fact, when we did the Mary Poppins National Tour, we were asked by the summer program through Cleveland Playhouse to do a masterclass intensive. So I helped set that up. But I still, and in fact, when I was working on School of Rock, my name would got out to some parents who were had kids who were auditioning for the show. So I actually coached and helped a couple of the kids get into the show. One of our swing kids I helped, and he got hired, and I think one of the girls. I teach. I taught a lot during the pandemic, like a lot of us did. We all kind of had to pivot and figure out. And so I was teaching right when everything sort of shut down. I was teaching dance classes to different studios around the country because, you know, their students couldn't meet. And it was sort of, and while it was difficult for the students, it was actually a really great experience for them because they got to work with Broadway performers that they normally wouldn't get to. And so I reached out to some friends and, like, they did classes. And so we all sort of started, you know, teaching. And I did that for a few months, you know, thinking that it would just be for a little bit, and then obviously it kept going. And so I kind of pivoted again and did some other stuff. But yeah, I still teach. I still, you know, if someone asks me to coach them on things, I do, or friends that are auditioning for stuff. If, you know, if they need help for a self tape, you know, we'll spitball ideas like, well, why don't you try this and try that? So, but yeah, I enjoy teaching. It's a lot of work, but it's one of the most rewarding things next to performing that I get to do.
Yay. Well, I would love to accompany you on a song today. What would you
I would love it.
And why did you select that song?
So I chose, I'm going to be doing Breeze Off the River from Full Monty. You know, it's interesting. It's so funny. These sort of like songs that are for like parents or for older character men, which I've sort of like, I'm embracing as I get older. You know, I sang it a few times when I was in my like, maybe late 20s, early 30s, and didn't really have a connection to it. But as I've gotten older and as I've worked with children more and like played fatherly roles, like I said, even though I don't have children, there's just a connection I feel of like, you know, what it would be like speaking to my own child or, you know, that kind of relationship. You know, like I said, I have a dog, so that's my fur baby. So, I mean, I do have a child per se. although when I sing to her, most of the time she just will try and jump on me and lick my face. Isn't that right? Yes. She's staring at me right now, like confused, out of her mind. But yeah, I love the story of just, you know, he knows he messes up a lot in life, Jerry in Full Monty, and his son is his world. You know, all the choices he's making in the show to better himself are for his son. And so there's something, I think there's a real strong narrative that a lot of people, regardless of having children, can kind of associate with just wanting to better themselves or do right by somebody. So, you know, and it's also, it's a great song. So, you know, it's a really, you know, it's what, David Yazbek, right?
I think, yeah.
Yeah, who wrote, you know, Big Fish, and, you know, he's a very prolific writer, and he writes some good stuff, so. And I like singing good stuff.
Well, I can't wait to hear you sing it. Here we go.
Yeah, awesome.
There's a breeze off the river, through the crack in the window pane. There's my boy on the pillow, and I feel like I'm lost again. Everybody knows the secret, they all know what their life should be. And they move like a river, everybody knows except for me. And I never feel like somebody calls a father. I can't explain, when I look at your kid, it's like a mirror, it spins my head, it wakes me. Like the breeze off the river, every time I see your face, and it's strange but familiar, like a map of a better place. And sometimes I feel like I live in a shadow, shadows all I see. And you jump straight up and you grab the moon and you make it shine on me. Where do you get it from? Everybody knows the secret. Well, I don't, and I never did. I don't know any secret. All I know is I love you, kid. All I know is I love you, kid. All I know.
That was was so incredible, Jesse. I'm so glad we were able to collaborate virtually again, and I really hope that one of these days we can collaborate in person too. For some more information on Jesse, make sure to visit his website, www.jesseswim.com, or on his Instagram page, at jswim1. If you're enjoying these virtual cabarets, please consider making a donation to the Actors Fund's Emergency Relief Fund at www.actorsfund.org to help support people working in the entertainment industry who have suddenly found themselves out of work. Any bit helps. You can also find The Early Night Show on the Broadway Podcast Network, wherever podcasts are found, and videos for episodes online on theearlynightshow.com. For some more Broadway fun, original music, and parodies, make sure to check out my TikTok at Joshua Turchin, and you can download my new song, Marks on the Wall, on all music streaming platforms. Thanks again to my guest, Jesse Swim. Let's keep entertaining and making music to help the world. Stay healthy, wear a mask, and get vaccinated so we can get back to work.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.